You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharks.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm SportsbookWire producer, handicapper, and co-host here of this podcast, Jeff Clark. I'm joined by my homie recording Thursday afternoon, January 14th, my gambling consigliere, betting buddy, Eston McLaren. Eston, thanks for hanging out, brother.
Of course, Jeff. It's divisional round weekend. There's nothing better I'd rather be doing on a Thursday afternoon. Let's go. These are four great games. I can't wait. Best four games of the NFL season.
Is this your favorite round of the playoffs?
This year it is. Yeah. I can't speak on it year over year. Yeah. I like the wild card weekend because there's more games, obviously. But yeah, I just these matchups this week were. We're very lucky. I'm excited for each one of these games, and boy, are they going to be fun to bet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to the action here for the NFL divisional round slate. Like I said last week, and we can touch on the results that I had last week, which were pretty poor, and I think you did all right. You beat me in our head-to-head, right?
I beat you in the head-to-head. I had the Washington football team plus 8.5, so... Whew, just got in under the wire there. Tampa Bay won 31-23. Taylor Heinicke, thank you. Yes, yeah, Saturday was rough for me, but made up for it on Sunday. I went, I'll say 2 for 2 on Sunday. I got my main bets on each game correct on Sunday. But yeah, Saturday was a little rough. But hey, jumping back on this weekend, and you know what? Don't see a loser on the card, that's for sure.
That's right. Let's get back in the saddle, right, and do some handicapping. Let's start with a future that I like here in the NBA. So let's go to Scope and Futures.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Scope and Futures.
All right, so unless you're living under a rock, you've probably heard that James Harden has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets. It was a big four-team trade. Houston Rockets got back Victor Oladipo and a mountain of draft capital. The Indiana Pacers got Caris LeVert. The Nets got James Harden. And who's the other team in there? The fourth team? Why am I spacing out here? The Rockets, the Pacers, the Nets.
No. It was a Bucks pick, but it was from somebody else, wasn't it?
The Cavs. Sorry. Yeah, the Cavs got Jarrett Allen,
right.
And and Karuks, I believe. I could have messed it up. The highlight of the trade is James Harden, so that's what's moved the betting lines. The Nets are now a prohibitive favorite to win the Atlantic Division. They're a favorite to win the Eastern Conference, even over the Bucks. They're favored. They're at plus 125 right now, while the Bucks are at plus 350. And to win the NBA championship, they are the second favorite behind the Lakers. Lakers are plus 250. The Nets are plus 300. It's a little unclear how much the line has moved. I don't know if you have anything on that, Eston, but I'm really liking the division bet in this one. Do you have any information on how it moved again?
Yeah, so the NBA championship, I'm not sure what it was directly before the trade. I mean, before the season, the Nets were somewhere in the range of plus 1,500. Obviously, a ho-hum start, we'll call it. They're 7-6 and third in the Atlantic now. But immediately after the trade, BetMGM bumped them down to plus 600. And then today, already, they're down even farther to plus 300 for the NBA championship. So just in a day, the public's already bet them down farther from what I know you and I think is an overcorrection by BetMGM, and the public already pouring on top of that. You said it off the top, prohibitive favorite at plus 300. They're like, there's no way you can bet that a 3-to-1 return on your investment for a team that's 7-6, third in their division, and could very well be the most dysfunctional NBA team we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, their second best player or third best player now, I guess, Kyrie Irving is MIA. Who knows when he's going to come back, and if he does come back or when he does come back, he might be facing some sort of suspension for leaked footage of maskless social gatherings that he was doing. But all that's up in the air right now. But what we do know is that the Nets have a new coaching staff, right? Have a completely new core. Really have no identity outside of the scoring prowess of their three best players. Jared Allen was an awesome young big that they had. DeAndre Jordan was part of their offseason spree or spending spree last year. But a couple games ago, he didn't even play, and he was fully suited, fully ready to go. Steve Nash just didn't think he was good enough to be out there. So he's going to go from not being good enough to be out there to be a starter. I think there's a lot of other teams or a few other teams in the East that have kind of paid their dues and have went through the playoffs up and downs. You know, like the Bucks, like the Celtics, and are chomping at the bit to go ahead and make this their breakthrough season in a wide open East. It was so wide open that the Miami Heat, you know, won last year. Again, it was some weird circumstances with the Orlando bubble, but they were a 5 seed heading into the playoffs. I wish there were a way specifically to short the Nets. I don't know, bet some no's on their future. But the only way that I can get to that is by betting this, or the only way I feel like I can short them is betting the Boston Celtics to win the Atlantic Division. Right now, they're the third favorite to win the division behind the Nets, again, at minus 145, and the 76ers at plus 250. Right now, Boston's technically the 1 seed in the East. They've had a couple games canceled and postponed because of the COVID situation, whether it be positive tests or contact tracing on their end or in their opponent's end. And when I first saw that Jason Tatum tested positive for COVID, if you guys remember in a couple episodes ago when we did our NBA preview extravaganza, or not an extravaganza, just did a few segments previewing the NBA regular season, I was big on Boston. I have them making it to the finals, and I'm not, I don't feel any worse about that bet, about that pick. I guess I don't feel better, but I'm holding my Boston stock, and I had Jason Tatum to win the MVP. So when he tested positive, I was nervous, but it just started a flood of COVID positive tests and contact tracing. And, you know, to the NBA's credit, they didn't release the second half of their schedule because they baked into the first half release that they're going to postpone games. So I don't think Boston's COVID test or COVID situation is going to as negatively affect it as I originally thought it was when Jason Tatum first tested positive. And the Nets have a litany of their own issues, specifically with Kyrie Irving and not having the role pieces to fill in around their stars. And lastly, because I'm, you know, really belaboring the point here, but yeah, they have three guys, if Kyrie Irving comes back, that can get their buckets against anyone. And, you know, you want at least one or two of those guys in today's NBA if you want a realistic chance to play, making the finals or winning the finals. But they don't do the little things, right? And if I can point out three obvious flaws that this team has to figure out or has to compensate for, it's going to be defense, ball movement, and continuity. Now, the Lakers last year were the first super team that were put together to win a championship in one season. Most teams, it takes at least 1 year of, your comeuppance or playoff heartbreak before you can break through. We saw that with the Heat. We saw that the Warriors before. So The Nets are going to have to earn their title, and I don't think just putting together these pieces gets in the title this year. But in terms of scope and futures, can't short them with any nose, but I'm taking the Boston Celtics at +450 to win the Atlantic Division. They are three losses, or Brooklyn is still three losses behind them in the win column. Granted, Brooklyn's only played 13 games, Boston's only played 10, but if you're going to give me this much plus money on what I think is a better, more well-rounded, well-coached team with continuity, I'm taking the Celtics +450. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and you're the bigger basketball guy on this show between the two of us. But yeah, like, you just can't bet the Nets right now. You're absolutely silly to do it. Apparently everyone else is going out and doing it. So sorry to those listeners who placed those bets yesterday, but glad it was your money and not mine. But yeah, like, essentially what this does is whichever one of these other three, four top teams in the Eastern Conference you like, whichever one you think is the best, you like the Celtics, but even the Milwaukee Bucks right now, +700 for the NBA championship, Sixers +1400 for the NBA championship, Celtics +1800 as well. And you can get better value in the Miami Heat again as well. So yeah, just if you want to fade the Nets, like if you're not completely sold on them and you just went over the plethora of reasons not to be, the play is absolutely to now bet any of these other teams at a better number than we were getting yesterday.
Yeah, so that's the one future that I have right now. It's obviously attached to the most trending story in sports outside of the NFL, the James Harden drama, but it's now over for Houston and it starts for Brooklyn. We'll see how it all goes. And, you know, they're going to be an awesome team. They're going to be competing for a title if they can keep this core intact and build around it. I just don't think they have as realistic of a chance this year. That being said, they have all the talent to prove me wrong. So we'll see and we'll check in on that as the season progresses. That's all I got for scope and futures. Let's get over to BetMGM Buggin'.
Jeff, just super quick, one more future talk here. No, PGA season, the golf season just starting up really. This week, the first real tournament. We had the Tournament of Champions last week, but just a 42-man field. So we get full field this week. Sungjae Im, major favorite for this week. He was as low as +1800 earlier this week. And, you know, everyone's talking him up. He seems to be everyone's pick to win. Mine as well. I wrote him out at sportsbookwire.com. So just between now and the Masters in April, which is when most people start to really pay attention to golf, just a general advice in betting golf futures now is anytime we go into one of these lesser tournaments and there's sort of a resounding public favorite like Sungjae Im this week, look ahead to his odds for the Masters. He's +3,000 for the Masters right now. Like I said, he was +1800 for this week's tournament earlier this week. If he wins, as so many people expect, those odds are going to plummet. He's already 18th in the official world golf ranking. That's going to drop considerably if he wins this week. And he tied for second at the Masters last year in his debut in the fall. So, yeah, it's time to just get that value while it exists, because a win either this week or next week or any time between now and April, and you're going to get a much lower number than +3,000. So that's for him and anyone else, really, between now and April.
All right, good stuff. Hell yeah, we gave him an NBA future, gave him some strategies for golf handicapping. We've done well in scope and futures.
We did well, yeah. And now we get into the thick of it.
For sure. All right, let's get over to BetMGM Buggin', and we're going to break down the NFL divisional round slate.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM Buggin'.
All right, so as all of you know, we, Eston and I, have been doing a head-to-head NFL weekly pick'em. We extended it from the regular season into the postseason. Eston, please update the listeners with the standings.
Yeah, so like I said, I got the Washington football team at +8.5 last week. Not over Tampa, but against Tampa. They covered and only lost by 8, so good job, Washington. Good job, Taylor Heineke. So, Jeff, you are now up 30-29-2 on our football picks for the season. And, wow, we only have 8 games remaining. So, going really down to the wire here.
You know how anyway, much it hurts me weekend. That you beat me with an underdog? You know how that hurts me?
Look back at our records. I have picked very few underdogs against the spread this year. So, hey, I got it when it mattered. And I feel like I suckered you into that one last week a little bit. And feel good about that. Hoping to do that again this week.
I don't know. I walked away from it thinking that I got the better end of the exchange. And as I was watching the game, I felt pretty good about Tampa Bay and them being able to at least cover the 8.5. Especially when it closed at, I think, didn't close at like 9.5, 10? So
10, at least 10, if not 10.5. Yeah, once the news of Alex Smith being ruled out dropped, I guess, Saturday afternoon that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That caused quite the jump. And yeah, you had the better side of the line and still.
Hey, that's gambling though, right? It doesn't matter getting good closing line value sometimes. I mean, that's what the goal is here when you're gambling, because typically that wins, but not this time for me. So, you know, as all of you guys should remember, hopefully remember, since Esten is as beating me currently or beat me last week in the NFL weekly pick'em, he can go ahead and host the slate.
Okay, so we'll start with the first game of the weekend, Saturday evening, the Los Angeles Rams head into Green Bay, Lambeau Field, face the Packers. Packers 6.5-point favorites, -115 odds. The Rams getting -105 on the other side of that. Over under a 45.5, -110 equally. Rams +2200 for the Super Bowl. They're seventh by the odds. The Packers are +400 and are second behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. Green Bay by last week. The Los Angeles Rams stunned a whole lot of people. Their 30-20 win at the Seattle Seahawks. And boy, wow, Seattle, just what a disaster the second half of the season has been for them. Came out of the gates, just lighting up everybody. Russell Wilson, favorite for MVP, pick a player, he was favorite for an award, as long as he wasn't playing defense. And yeah, just a collapse. I really don't know about Seattle there. They're not going to be on a lot of my cards next season, at least future-wise. Yeah, anyway, Rams, good on them, but still 6.5-point underdogs against Packers. I feel home field playing a bit of a factor here for the Packers, as it should. It's a big advantage for Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, basically has MVP wrapped up. At least most books have taken those odds off the board. Can you go against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Jeff?
Yeah, I would have to, you know. Favorites have been covering in the division around the past few years. I think they're 6-2 in the last 2 years, divisional favorites against the spread. But yeah, you know, I like Matt LaFleur and all, but the Rams have a better defense and they have a better coach. And, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs of possibly his greatest individual season ever. He looks amazing, but Davante Adams has a legitimate challenge with Jalen Ramsey, who is probably the second best defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald, who left last week's game with a rib injury, but reportedly the Terminator is good to go and he's not feeling any pain. I don't know if that's true, but I can assume that he's not going to look like he's in any pain. And money's flooding in on the Packers here. 80% of the money is on the Packers, according to pregame.com, a site that I follow, and I check for the betting handles in the sports betting markets. And yet the line hasn't moved. It hasn't moved in the Rams' favor. If anything, it's moving towards Green Bay. So BetMGM essentially wants Green Bay action. So I definitely don't want to give the house what they want here. Also, Green Bay's three losses were against teams that have similar identities as the Rams. They lost to Tampa Bay, Indianapolis, and Minnesota. All three of them have statue-like quarterbacks with strong offensive lines. All three had success running the ball versus Green Bay, which the Rams should have success as well. They have a major edge in run blocking according to Pro Football Focus in this specific matchup. And like I said, their secondary matches up really well against against Green Bay. Their pass rush has the biggest advantage of any line unit, according to Pro Football Focus. Pass rush and running the ball, the two things that the Rams want to do. And if they can do that in this game, I think they can keep it within 6.5. The other thing that I took away last week from the Seahawks and the Rams game was the Rams' offensive line was the best unit in that game. The Seahawks, it was, I talked about it in my handicap last week, but the Seahawks' rush defense was phenomenal the whole year. The whole year is phenomenal, and they got bullied last week. Cam Akers was awesome. I've been high on Cam Akers the whole year and in the preseason. He's finally healthy and looking, or he's healthy and he's looking good. And Green Bay's defense is middle of the road, and I think the Rams is going to have success running the ball. Obviously, Goff is a concern, but I'm going to take the 6.5 with the better defense. Where are you at in this one?
Okay, we got a deal here. We're going to put that on the board and go head-to-head. I am on the Packers, -6.5. That's a fine number for me. And yeah, you mentioned the Rams rushing offense and, you know, the Packers poor rush defense, I guess. Well, the same thing kind of goes with Green Bay for me. Like there, and you mentioned the Rams offensive line last week. Well, the Packers offensive line was number one in football all through the regular season, pass blocking and run blocking, at least by ESPN's win rate. So yeah, I'm a big Aaron Jones fan here. We can get into a little bit. I have some Aaron Jones props for this week. The Rams, they were 16th in run stop win rate. So I think the door is open for Aaron Jones to take some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? Devontae Adams, as good as he is and as good as Jalen Ramsey is on the other side, he isn't needed as badly by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as he has been in previous years. And to me, that's been a big difference for the Packers as a whole this season. And yeah, it's going to be a difference here. Robert Tonyan, the tight end, huge red zone factor. Marquez Valdez-Scantling can, you know, tough to predict when it's going to happen, but he has had many big plays, many big games this season. And I think he, as a secondary option, tertiary option even, is going to be the difference here against the Rams. So yeah, I'm on the Packers. The defense does concern me, of course, especially the run side of it and against a very good running back in Cam Akers, as you mentioned. But the pass defense is good enough. And Jared Goff, we just know he isn't good enough. He's practicing in full this week, second game back, potentially a little bit better than he was last week. But you know what? Jared Goff wasn't the reason the Los Angeles Rams stunned the Seattle Seahawks last week. So I'm going to fade Goff and the Rams because of that. So yeah, give me the better quarterback and a running back who's going to have a very big game Saturday.
Yeah, the only disagreement I have, I have several disagreements, but you know that's why we're going head to head in this one. I think they're going to need Devontae Adams. That's my thing. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to go on a milk box carton somewhere in this game. Like Darius Williams is taking him completely out. So they're going to need Devontae Adams, and they're going to need the rush game. Which, you know, Aaron Jones is awesome. I'm interested in hearing your props because I wasn't able to find any good props in this game that I liked, but what do you got?
Yeah, I've got a few here. Aaron Jones over 68.5 rushing yards, -120. His rushing and receiving total was set just under 100. You know, sometimes that's a good way to go. You get the insurance of whether those you can bust a big play in the passing game and that's going to inflate that total and you'll be safe even just one play. I don't like that so much here. Obviously, we know the Rams pass defense that extends down to pass catching running backs, but their run defense is very exposable. And the Packers being big favorites in this game, I think they can get a lead and turn to Aaron Jones a little bit more away from him. I like Marquez Valdez-Scantling to go over 23.5 receiving yards. He only needs one play to do that. I think that's very much in the cards here, even if it does take a couple of receptions, which would be rare. And then MVS touchdown and a Green Bay win pays +280. So I like that little same game parlay with a player prop and the Packers to win.
Do you have any feel on the total on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I want to take the over, obviously, right? Like I had the under last week with the Rams and the Seahawks. They played to the over, so maybe you have a little more faith that the Rams can hold up their side of it, and then you just count on the Packers to do what they've done all season. You look at betting splits here, 79% of the tickets are on the over, and 69% of the money is on the over as well. So, you know, the Joes and the Sharps both on the same side here. Of course, they were both on the Packers against the spread, and you're against them. So, you know, maybe you lean a little tighter to the under with your Rams pick, but for me, it's Packers and over, but it's going to be tight on the line. I much prefer the spread play.
Yeah, I like the under here because both these teams control the tempo. Green Bay is first in net time of possession. Rams are second in net time of possession. The Rams, I think their game plan is pretty simple. It is to rough up Aaron Rodgers, but ultimately keep him off the field. You know, the more Aaron Rodgers or Green Bay drives, the more likely he's going to break through and either land a dime or just get the ball in the end zone. So I'm anticipating the Rams, you know, being able to move the ball and have the clock keep moving and keep ticking. Also, both defenses are great at preventing explosive plays. I could see Aaron Jones having a pretty solid rushing game in terms of like yards per attempt, but I think they're going to keep him in front of them, and you know, I think they're going to keep Aaron Jones in front of them and make sure he doesn't have any huge plays. And I do like the clock to be moving a lot in this game, so I definitely lean under. I'm thinking about putting it in a teaser and getting it over to 51.5. Unfortunately, that's not available at our friends BetMGM, who are providing all of our odds and lines. But it's nut crunching time. We're in the divisional round, so I got to give you out my likes and the plays and how I'm seeing this. So I would probably tease the under, but I definitely lean to the under. That's all I got for this game. Are you done here?
Yeah, no. That's good. Good start. We already got one game, and that matches the total from last week. So three games left. Let's find one more. Let's move into Baltimore Ravens at Buffalo Bills. The Bills.
Hey, let's off of. I was going to say, let's agree to not go to head-to-head in this one. This one's tough. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
This is my second favorite game of the week, I guess. I really like Browns Chiefs, but yeah, I love this game. It's gonna be so fun
from a betting
the Bills. Yeah,
I keep cutting you off, go ahead.
The Bills 2.5 point favorites at home, coming off their win over the Indianapolis Colts, the -110 odds to win by at least 3 points. The Ravens +2.5, -110 odds again. Over under of 49.5, which is the third highest total of the week. -115 for the over, -105 for the under. The Bills, fourth by the odds to win the Super Bowl at +600. Ravens, +800, fifth by the odds. So this is a real tight matchup. Yeah, the Bills coming off that win at home against the Colts, that much anticipated, the long-awaited home playoff win for Buffalo. 6,700 fans expected to be in attendance Saturday night. No. Temperatures around freezing, maybe a little bit of snow. Lamar Jackson, speaking earlier this week, not a fan of the snow, really hopes it doesn't. Does that swing things in favor of the Bills anymore in your mind?
I don't know how much weather is going to play a factor in this one. I'm actually going to do what I wouldn't do in the regular season very often, but I would just take the money line for the Bills here. Right now they're at -135, right? I think that's cheap enough or reasonable enough of a price to go ahead and buy instead of laying the 2.5. I mean, these teams, this is going to be an awesome game. I mean, yeah. These teams are, I mean, you think it's going to be an awesome game on paper. It matches up well. They're both nearly identical and in high leverage situations, or, you know, third down and red zone percentages. They both have dynamic offenses, but in a different way. You know, with obviously the ground game for the Ravens and the aerial attack of the Bills. You would think the weather would help out the Ravens more, but you know, it's the Bills receivers know where they're going to go, obviously. You know, that's the whole, that's the route, and it's on the defensive backs to keep up with them. So in these quick cuts or in these situations, you know, where, I don't know, double moves, you would think, like, in the slick conditions, Buffalo knowing where they're going, or their receivers knowing where to go ahead of time, they're going to get some open looks. It's just a matter of if Josh Allen can be accurate here. It's a tough one, but to me, the biggest star, the unspoken star of Buffalo, is Sean McDermott, their head coach. Everyone has heard about the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, at this point, and he's a hot name in the coaches search or coach candidate list. But McDermott can scheme up a defense versus a one-dimensional offense. He held Baltimore's offense last year to 24 points when they met. Baltimore beat him 24-17, but, you know, that was, outside of the Chiefs, the best offense in the league, and they were rolling at the time. And Buffalo had a hell of a game playing against them. And I, going back to the whole teaser thing, I actually like Buffalo -135. And as tight of a window as this is, I would tease the Ravens up to 8.5 and try to land that plane. I guess, you know, 8.5 point middle isn't the tightest window, but, you know, I don't usually like betting one side and then betting another, even with the teaser. So unless it's like a middle play, but I don't know if I tease this with the under, the total in the Rams Packers, then I'll have an idea of what I'm, what's going on ahead of time. But if I tease it with a Sunday game, then I'm just like kind of putting myself at more risk, but I'm kind of beating around the bush here. I would take the Bills and the money line. Where are you leaning, or do you like either side?
I kind of like the Ravens and the +115 money line myself. Yeah, we saw that last week. They absolutely shut down Derrick Henry at the Tennessee Titans in a big 2013 road win. Lamar Jackson finally got that first playoff win, 179 yards passing, 136 rushing, Ravens, they've won 6 straight games now. Bills obviously won 7 straight. These two teams met last year in week 14 in Buffalo. The Ravens won 24-17. Jackson had 3 passing touchdowns and interception. Josh Allen had 1 passing touchdown only. Both were rather mediocre for passing yards and rushing yards. But, you know, as we found out every single week all season, what Josh Allen did before 2020 just doesn't matter, right? Like, yeah. All credit to Brian Daboll, who weirdly somehow isn't getting enough head coaching buzz anymore. But yeah, I'll credit to him and Josh Allen. You know, just forget everything you knew about Josh Allen before. Yes, he made a near mistake last week that would have cost them the game against the Colts, but it didn't. So move on. You can use that for experience. I expect the absolute best out of both these teams. One thing for me that's going to make me go against Buffalo is the injury to Zach Moss, the rookie running back. That leaves Devin Singletary as really the only viable rushing option there other than Josh Allen. And Devin Singletary, yeah, you know, he's fine, but he's also on, not only is he the only running back, but Devin Singletary only has one rushing style. He's a north-south guy. He doesn't really do much to get outside, and he's not all that useful in the passing game. So not only are they shorthanded just, you know, committee-wise, they're down to one of very few one-dimensional running backs in the NFL these days. So I think that's going to be huge. Baltimore Ravens, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards have really just both been doing it either way all season, at least since the two of them replaced Mark Ingram. And big key for me as well for Baltimore, Marquise Hollywood Brown has come on big time late in the season. Topped 100 yards again last week against Tennessee. I think you need to watch out for him this week. And Jackson just really seems to trust him right now after what had been a really bad season for Brown most of the year. And then obviously you got Mark Andrews, the big tight end in the red zone. Yeah, I'm on Baltimore here. I think 6-game win streak, going up against a 7-game win streak, not getting quite enough credit. I think Jackson just got that bolt of confidence he needed. And yeah, you need to watch out for this Ravens team. But quickly, one more thing on this team. I should have mentioned off the last game. This kind of goes hand in hand with my golf strategy. I mentioned scope and futures. But any team you think's going to win this week, now would be a good time to go ahead and also bet them at their Super Bowl price, because you're going to go from eight teams to four teams. All these odds are going to plummet. Ravens right now plus 800, Bills plus 600. Whichever one wins, that number is going to go down next week. So I like putting a sprinkle on your winning spreads or money line picks this week.
You made an interesting point about Zach Moss being there that I guess would serve as a good segue here to our little props discussion. Hopefully you have a prop lined up or were able to find something. I found a couple that I liked, and one was over Josh Allen rushing yards. I like betting the quarterbacks rushing props when they're facing other elite rushing quarterbacks. And also Buffalo not having Zach Moss is going to it's probably going to force Josh Allen to have to be more mobile and or to just have to run or have RPOs or just schemed up, planned quarterback runs. So I definitely like over Josh Allen rushing yards, which was pretty sure it was 33.5 right now. Hold on. Let me pull it up. Do you have any player props in the Ravens Bills?
Yeah, I've got Buffalo Bills for their first team touchdown. I have a defensive score. Either Buffalo Bills defensive score, either first touchdown of the game, plus 2,000, or anytime touchdown for the Bills defense at plus 550. And that's really just going off of Lamar Jackson's quote that he doesn't like the cold. He hopes it doesn't snow. Hope for a little snow, hope for an early mistake from Jackson. And yeah, you got the Bills defense to get in the end zone. Obviously got plenty of players capable of doing that. Plus 550 for an anytime score is nice value. Or you go the route of the Cleveland Browns against Pittsburgh Steelers last week, and plus 2,000 for the first score of the game is a very nice return on investment.
Yeah, well, good luck with your snow hopes there, Lamar Jackson, because my father once said you can shit in one hand and wish in the other and see which one fills up first. Probably not going to get the weather you like in Buffalo this weekend. If I know anything about Buffalo in January, not going to be good weather out there.
Yeah.
But, all right, cool. Okay. And the other one, the last prop that I have is under Stephon Diggs receiving yards. It is, hold on, it's 91.5. He's the best wide receiver in the game, at least this year, statistically. But the Ravens are second in wide receiver fantasy points per game allowed. And I just don't think, they have the secondary to make it difficult on Stephon Diggs and to specifically focus their energy on him and make another wide receiver beat them. They're first in explosive pass play defense. And I think the ways those stats and those metrics play out in this particular game is an under for Stephon Diggs. So that's the other prop that I like here.
Yeah, and to back up that argument for you as well, you know, the Bills have other very good options that we've seen flashes from, you know, pretty much all season, but they just haven't needed to consistently use anybody else because Stephon Diggs has been able to do everything he needs to against every other opponent all season. So yeah, I think that the Baltimore Ravens defense is capable of containing Stephon Diggs, and then Josh Allen, instead of forcing it to Diggs in those situations, he can look to Gabriel Davis, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox. Like, I really like that prop.
All righty. That's all I got for Ravens Bills. How about you?
Okay, yep, we're good. Third game of the weekend, Sunday afternoon, 3:05 p.m. Eastern time at Arrowhead Stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs come off of their bye. Now, still Super Bowl favorites at plus 220 and 10-point favorites in this game against the Cleveland Browns. Minus 110 odds for the Chiefs to win by at least 11 points. Minus 110 odds for the Browns to lose by 9 or fewer points. Over under of 57.5. This is the biggest total of the week by 6 points. Minus 110 odds on either side. Like I said, Chiefs plus 220 for the Super Bowl. The Browns plus 2,500 for the Super Bowl. And those are the worst odds of the 8 remaining teams. Chiefs. Everyone's going to be on the Chiefs this week. Let's look at the BetMGM data. 66% of the tickets are on the Browns plus 10. 59% of the money is on the Browns plus 10. So the public and the pros betting against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Seems like a scary recipe to me, Jeff.
Yeah. I think you were leaning towards the Bills until you just read that. It felt, I felt the wheel turning in your head.
I should have prepped ahead and knew what I was about to read, but I didn't. So that took me by surprise, and boy, did that just stop me dead in my tracks.
Yeah, I didn't think that I was going to be able to fade the market by taking possibly the greatest quarterback ever and the defending Super Bowl champions. So I was leaning to the Chiefs, minus 10. It was going to be the only side that I played anyways. I would take it to the window, or I would go head-to-head with you again in this one. The Kansas City actually has a second best defense and explosive run plays, which is major because Cleveland is first in explosive run plays as an offense. Cleveland's 25th in pass defense DVOA. Their secondary sucked the whole year. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is probably the worst, is definitely the worst quarterback to have a bad secondary and be going against. And they're 26th in tight end fantasy points allowed. So I just see a massive game from Travis Kelce. You know, I like him to go over his receiving yards, which I can pull up here in 1 second. I think it's 86 and a half. Just give me one moment. Actually, we could talk about that in a minute. But I like over Kelce receiving props. The Chiefs have huge mismatches in their wide receiver corp against the secondary of the Browns, according to PFF. But I'm sure everyone knows that, so I don't have to actually like list the percentages. And, you know, it's given how good the Browns have looked down the stretch and how impressive that win was last week against the Steelers, I find it somewhat surprising that they're hanging or that they're getting a full 10 points here. And just, I think everyone's natural reaction is to go with the Browns plus 10. And that's kind of what is happening when you read the market handle. So I'll take the Chiefs minus 10. It's more of a lean than a like, but that's where I'm at in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns plus 10. Then we got our second game of the week. And not the Browns have the run game to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands just a little bit. The Browns, you know, number two in pass block win rate, number 13 in run block win rate. Yeah, I'm still okay with that. They're seventh in Football Outsiders rush offense DVOA. The Chiefs are just 26th in run stop win rate. That's exposable for me. And they're 18th in yards per rush allowed defensively, the Chiefs are. And you know what? All season long, this is a case for me where I've just been wrong too many times all season betting the Chiefs while laying a big number, that I'm going to take the underdog against them for once. You know what? Go back through their schedule. They were huge favorites against the Atlanta Falcons in week 16. They won 17-14. They were huge, or they were big favorites at the Miami Dolphins in week 14. They won 33-27. Big favorites at home against Denver Broncos. They won 22-16. Big favorites against the Las Vegas Raiders. They won 35-31. Big favorites against the Carolina Panthers. They won 33-31 in a game that they probably should have lost, or very easily could have at least. So yeah, I'm just going to take a big number against the Chiefs now, because we've seen them struggle far too many times this year to cover a big number. And I'm not sure what that is. Obviously they have the talent, they have the coaching to be able to do it. I just don't know if they completely take their foot off the gas and just don't want to embarrass anybody, because that very well could be the case here, right? It could be the case next week, and it could be the case in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no way these guys get embarrassed by the Kansas City Chiefs. Very much in play, but we just haven't seen them do it very much this week. Not really since a 43-16 win over the Denver Broncos in week 17. And this Cleveland Browns team is a whole lot better than that or any Denver Broncos team.
Do you have any props that you're into?
Yeah, this is on my lighter side of props this week, but I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield over 14 and a half rushing yards, plus 105 odds on that. I just like the value there. And yeah, he's going to need to scramble and make some plays if the Chiefs get a lead really of any size. And you know what? The probably going to be a little bit healthier than was last week, but Browns defense is still dealing with a lot of injuries. You know, Conklin has a hamstring and knee issue. Teller has an ankle injury. Treader has a knee injury. All three of these guys probably going to play, but probably not their best. And we saw somebody, I forget who, leave the game early for the Browns last week on the offensive line. They could return, they could all play, but you know, not going to be at their best. And if anybody happens to drop out even for a few drives this week, that's going to lend itself to Baker Mayfield scrambling around. And you know what, 14 and a half yards, it's only going to take a couple scrambles for him to get there.
All right. Yeah, I like Kelce over his receiving yards, which right now is 86 and a half. I also like, and this is getting pricier. This is going to go to the window with me, but I like over Patrick Mahomes 16 and a half rushing yards. In his three playoff games last season, he ran 53 yards against Houston, 53 yards against Tennessee, 29 yards in the Super Bowl. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is banged up right now. Le'Veon Bell looks pretty washed.
Le'Veon Bell just stinks. Yeah, you don't need to say anything else there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to open the it's going to provide some opportunity, or probably the better way of putting it is force Patrick Mahomes to maybe be a little more mobile than he has been throughout the year, but we've seen him in the playoffs increases mobility and willingness to scramble outside the pocket and either stretch plays out with his legs or just straight up run for first downs and even touchdowns. We saw an awesome touchdown scamper from him last year against the Tennessee Titans. Also, Cleveland has allowed the fourth most quarterback rushing yards from opposing quarterbacks this year. So I really like Mahomes over 16 and a half rushing yards in this one.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And, you know, the Cleveland pass rush is going to be feeling pretty good about itself. You know, Olivier Vernon's still out for the rest of the year. You know, got the job done against the statue formerly known as Ben Roethlisberger this week, but there's a very big difference between present day Ben Roethlisberger, well, any day Ben Roethlisberger and Patrick Mahomes. And yeah, I think that prop could hit pretty early if Cleveland tries to get a little overeager and chase after him and he just leaves them in their dust.
Yeah, how I've actually envisioned it cashing is I don't see Kansas City having much of a rush offense in this game. So I actually think they're going to try to like kill the clock and like at the end of the game, I think they're end up trying to kill the clock by throwing the ball. So I think one of these plays, they're going to, you know, they're going to be covering the guys. They're going to be covering everyone down the field, and it's going to help Mahomes just leak out for a first down run of like 15 yards. I could see him sliding inbounds. They end up kneeing it, something like that. That's, again, this is just me daydreaming, cashing tickets, but that's what I think is going to happen. Who knows? Hopefully it's not a sweat, like you're saying. Hopefully it just goes over early and I can be done with this. So,
yeah, I see that happening on the first, maybe the second drive. But yeah, your route to a backdoor cover is very, very possible as well. So I'm on Cleveland plus 10. You're on the Chiefs minus 10. Any thoughts on the over-under here? Like I said, the highest of the week by 6 points, 57 and a half, minus 110 odds either way.
Not really, just because my handicap is pretty square. I just think it's too high, so I would go under. But, I mean, outside of that, I don't know. Like the Chiefs, you know, I've said this over the season and throughout the season. I think the Chiefs hold the good plays or hold some explosive plays back so they can unveil them here in the playoffs. That's always been my theory. And whenever they've had to play against big game, play against great teams, they've shown more than they have in previous games. That's why they're not covering these big numbers. So I think, you know, on one hand, I could see the Chiefs offense just being amazing against the Browns. On the other hand, like, the Browns could have offensive success, right? But, you know, my gut reaction, my feeling is it's just too many points. But I don't know. Hopefully you have something a little stronger than me there.
No, I'm a little scared away as well. Yeah. You know, the closest form of analysis I have on this is we saw the Browns play to a high total against the Tennessee Titans earlier this season as well, and that was set at a high number, and they exceeded that one basically in the first half. So, yeah, maybe that can happen again. We know the Browns' offense is capable of putting up a big number, and, of course, the Chiefs are as well. So, yeah, I would lean to the over, but it would be gently. It is scary, and if we see any sort of similar performance from the Browns' defense as we saw last week, then, hey, maybe they do keep the Chiefs in check just a little bit. All right, good for game number four, the final game of divisional round weekend.
Let's do it.
Right. New Orleans Saints, 3-point favorites in game three of the 2020 season against the rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks are +3, -105 odds. Saints -3, -115. Saints are third by the Super Bowl odds at +550. The Bucks are sixth at +900. Over under 51.5 for this one. -105 over, -115 under. Tampa Bay Moneyline +140 for anyone who might be interested, including myself. The Bucks coming off a 31-23 win at the Washington Football Team, in which Washington covered 8.5 points. The Saints, they won 21-9 last week at home against the Chicago Bears because the Bears didn't have to kick an extra point. So, wow. That was something. I'm glad I did not have the Saints spread on that one. Actually, didn't bet the spread on that one. I had the under, which, you know, connected rather easily, so I felt good about that.
Yeah, I had Bears +11. That was fun.
Hey,
that pretty much encapsulates my wild card weekend right there.
This day and age, they need to be factoring that in, right? Like, they need to know that those little points that aren't needed factor into the betting line, right? And so you either add it for free or you make them kick it. Like, you can't just not do it.
To be fair, despite me losing a whole bunch of money on it, I think that what they did was the best way to go about it, right? Because it was a dead ball, or the game was over. There's no time on the clock. So the point was just a formality, and it's just like almost doing a favor for someone who bet the Bears. I mean, this whole thing started with the Minnesota Miracle a couple years ago, where Stephon Diggs hit that had that game-winning touchdown against the Saints, and they didn't kick the extra point, even though, like, they had to go out there and, like, hike the ball, and they ended up just taking a knee. But, you know, they changed the rule after that, and I think it's more fair, but it bit me in the ass because for a split second I'd forgotten, right? I see Jimmy Graham made a spectacular one-handed catch in traffic.
That was the best catch Jimmy Graham has made in 7 seasons.
Yeah, and for a split second I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I thought it was in a chop, but then, yeah, I remembered, you know, and then all, like, both sidelines flood to the middle of the field. It's like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm not going to win this one. But as much as I would have loved to chop, I do think it is somewhat fair. Because it's just like, how much does that suck for the Bears? Hey, you got to kick your field goal. You lost. You lost by double digits. But, yeah, you know, Vegas is sweating it. You can't do that, but I hear what you're saying. I wish, man. I wish.
Anyway, so Saints 3-point favorites here against the Bucks. Oh, yeah. The Saints won 34-23 in week one and then 38-3 in week nine. Swept the season series against the NFC South rival Buccaneers. The Bucks, can they answer back here? Tom Brady looked pretty darn good last week against Washington. I think I'm on the Bucks here.
Yeah, I'm the Saints. It's my best bet. It's something I'm going to take to the window. Tom Brady is having an amazing season. Like, you know, when you look at, if you look at his year, now that it's been concluded, at least the regular season, I think he's tied for second in touchdown passes with 40. His first year in a new offense and on a new team in, 20 seasons? There's nothing bad to say about Tom Brady, and I actually like
who knew having receivers could help.
Yeah. I actually like the over here. Tom Brady's dome splits are the best splits that he has in terms of, like, stadium or field. His career quarterback rating in dome games is 111.8. In outdoors, it's 96.4, and in retractable roofs, it's 99.8. I feel like retractable roofs should be the same as like domes, but they make a difference out of it, or they separate them and put Pro Football Reference. So I think there's gonna be a lot of points scored in this game. But I just don't see how Tampa Bay stops Saints. I've been pounding the table about how overrated this Tampa Bay defense is. New Orleans has scored 30 plus points in the last four meetings. That 38-3 Sunday Night Football blowout was the ass whooping of the 2020 regular season.
It was the most unwatchable game all year.
Yeah, it was a dud. And it was billed as like one of the most exciting regular season games, and everyone thought it was going to be. But I just think the Saints have their number. They have a huge coaching edge with Sean Payton over Bruce Arians. And I heard this earlier on another podcast. I got to shout him out, the Dream Preview podcast, RJ Bell's podcast, just to source the information. But there's only been three games this season with Kamara, Breeze, and Michael Thomas playing together all in the lineup. Two of them were the Tampa Bay games, and then the other one was the wild card game last week. So they have all their best players out there, and I think they're going to move the ball and have a lot of success on offense. I'm willing to lay the three, and I do think the last part of the against the spread handicap here for me is Tampa Bay just needs to go through some playoff heartbreak. You know, obviously Tom Brady doesn't need to learn any lessons, but no one on the roster is a real champion, or they don't have any championship pedigree, including the coach, Bruce Arians. So, you know, New Orleans, it's been comical how much heartbreak they've dealt with in the past few seasons. I know I've laughed at it recently, or, you know, in prior years, but I do think this is the year they at least get over or get past the divisional round. And they set themselves up for a conference title game next week. But I'll lay the three.
Okay, we got our third head-to-head pick of the week, and I love that. Four games, three picks. Look at us. If only we had that sort of rate earlier in the season, we could have had some big swings. But, hey, crunch time for our head-to-head competition. It's going to be a very big week for it. Unfortunately, we got two flat numbers here, so given our luck, those are going to end up being pushes, and we're only going to have one game. But, hey, anyway, we're going to go with it. Yeah, I like the Bucs here, and you said it with Tom Brady's dome splits. I think that's huge. And, really, he's the better quarterback of these two right now. Drew Brees, yeah, has flashed this year, but just consistency-wise, Brady has been much better. Another big thing for me is going to be Latavius Murray probably going to miss this game for the Saints. He's their, you know, ground guy, their goal line guy, their, you know, pounded up the middle other than Taysom Hill. He's probably going to miss, so that's going to put a lot of pressure on Alvin Kamara. I love Alvin Kamara under 61.5 rushing yards, -110 odds. That's because Tampa Bay's run defense is very, very good. Second in run stop win rate, first in yards per rush allowed in the regular season, and number one in Football Outsiders rush DVOA. So yeah, they're going to put the clamps down on Alvin Kamara running the ball, at least force him to do it through the air, which, hey, we all know he's fully capable of doing that. But I like the Bucs to make him one-dimensional at least, and help make the New Orleans Saints offense as a whole a little more one-dimensional. And I think that's going to play a big factor here. And yeah, I'm on Bucs +3, and I really like that Tampa Bay +140 money line.
Do you have any props in this game that you like?
Well, the Kamara one I said, and then Chris Godwin over 5.5 receptions +115. I really like the payout there. And this is the guy who had a couple big drops last week, made up for it with a big play. And I think they're just going to, Brady at least is just going to feed it to him.
You said Godwin?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Godwin over 5.5 receptions. I think that's a manageable number. Obviously, a lot of mouths to feed in Tampa Bay. That's generally the concern with reception props for them. Didn't play a whole lot this year. But Ronald Jones also looking pretty banged up headed into this one. Not sure if he plays or not. No. Leonard Fournette had a pretty good game last week. But I think a little less running and a little more passing for Tampa Bay gets a few more looks and receptions for Chris Godwin this week and a bounce back game for him.
I'm also on Chris Godwin props. I'm going to take him over 66.5 receiving yards. And we're going to go to Narrativeville for this one. I guess the one non-narrative thing that I can say is it's the biggest mismatch on for the Tampa Bay wide receiving core. According to PFF, it would be Godwin versus Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And the Narrativeville that I'm going to talk about here, or that I'm referring to, is everyone hates Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. If you remember, Michael Thomas beat him up or got into a fight with him in practice earlier this year, and that was the reason why he was suspended. You saw that weird, if you remember back to the first Saints-Bears regular season game, where Charles Wims just like ran up on him and started swinging on him. Like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is consistently getting into beef with other wide receivers and even wide receivers on his own team. Not to say Chris Godwin needs any other motivation, but given the fact that, you know, PFF lists that as a huge mismatch in favor of Godwin and just how consistently Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets under people's skin, I think Godwin is going to be the wide receiver that feasts most in this matchup, and he's just going to crush Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and I'm looking forward to that one, actually, despite even having the Saints.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up to end on this game, and full agreement there. You sent me the article or the quote earlier this week of how Matt Nagy warned his players not to retaliate against Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Well, it was Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Went ahead and did it? Or no, it was Anthony
Someone
Miller.
Did. Yeah.
Anthony Miller went ahead and swung on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Cost the Bears the game, probably. Like, did it at a time when the game was very close. And, you know, turn things. And you know what? Tom Brady isn't going to let his guys go out there and swing at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I think they're just going to be much more disciplined in that respect, especially after seeing an opponent do it against the Saints last week. So, yeah, that's a very good angle. And Chris Godwin's better than that, I'll say, is really all that comes down to.
Before we go to the window, I actually do have one more prop, though, in this game I want to give out. I'm taking over Alvin Kamara receiving yards, 36.5. In his 8 games against Tampa Bay in his career, Kamara's went over 36.5 yards 6 times, and he got to 36 one of those times that he didn't go over. So he's their second best wide receiver. Jared Cook is banged up. And again, I just think there's going to be a lot of points, and I think there's going to be an overemphasis, or maybe a proper amount of emphasis, on Michael Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders looked good last week, and I think it's just going to help open up some checkdowns to Alvin Kamara, and not even checkdowns. They're going to look to get him involved in the passing game. So I do like over 36.5 yards here, but that wraps up my Buccaneers-Saints handicap. I don't know if you have anything else in this game.
Yeah, just quickly, -105 for Jeff's over prop there. I had under 61.5 rushing yards, -110 odds. So, you know, essentially we're doing the same thing here, similar logic, at least on my side of it. So, yeah, just go with the better payout. So take the over receiving yards, because I'm very confident that the majority of Alvin Kamara's yards in this game are going to gum through the air rather than on the ground. And yeah, that's good for me for BetMGM Buggin. 3 picks we have. I have Packers -6.5. You have Chiefs -10. And you have Saints -3. So all comes down to this week. Going to be a big swing heading into the conference championships and the Super Bowl. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it's going to be a lesser going to the window segment, but let's wrap this episode up as we always do with our going to the window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast.
going to the window.
All right, I don't know how much you have on your bet slip. I just have two bets. I love Patrick Mahomes over 60.5 rushing yards, and my best bet of the week is the Saints -3. That's what's on my bet slip. What do you got on yours?
I have Baker Mayfield over 14.5 rushing yards +105. I'm looking for plus money payouts here this week. And Chris Godwin over 5.5 receptions +115, making some money back in the divisional round after losing a little bit too much most of the regular season. And I am going to put a small wager on the Baltimore Ravens +800 for the Super Bowl. If the Browns don't do it this week, I think the Ravens are one of the better positioned teams to maybe take down the reigning champs. I would like them more in that matchup more than I would like the Bills, I think. So, yeah, little bet on the Ravens at +800, because if they do win that week, this week, that number is going to drop considerably.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this week's Bet Slippin' Podcast. What do you say we get out of here?
Yeah, I loved it. And boy, am I excited for Saturday and Sunday.
Absolutely. And to all the listeners, best of luck handicapping and with your own bets here in the NFL divisional round weekend. Do us a favor, subscribe, rate, and review everywhere you hear this podcast, or you can get podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and obviously Apple Podcasts. So throw us a review, throw us a positive rating, and it'll help us rise whatever sports betting podcast charts and help grow this podcast, which would be major. Please help us out. Till next time, we're out of here. Good luck.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.